I don't know what to speak. When Matt changed the words to that song, that was powerful. And I became undone. It's amazing to me when I read in the Word that when Jesus was alive walking the earth, and even the miracles and the presence that he carried, specifically even the last week of his life when he came riding into Jerusalem, he goes to the temple. There are many in the temple praying. They're even praying for the Messiah to come. And how totally and completely and utterly unaware some people were when Jesus was around. That's an amazing thing to me. And that song we were singing too, when he comes walking in the room, don't be unaware. Don't be unaware when he's around. It's not just a physical thing or an emotional thing, it's a spiritual thing. That was awesome. Thank you. Hey, Renee, you want to come up while I'm trying to gather myself here and talk about...
Yes, my beloved. I love when we get the pleasure and the privilege of partnering with God. Is this on? Hello?
Here we go.
Anyway, it's just a privilege because the Lord is always working on our behalf, and he's such a miracle-working God that it just doesn't really matter what we're facing, what kind of obstacle or circumstance or situation we're in. He just is the victorious one. And, I mean, that's just it. I mean, there just isn't anything more to say. It just is. And I think that if we'll just continue to align ourselves with that truth, then regardless of what our body feels, our emotions feel, our mind tells us, we're just going to step into the fullness of the Lord. I mean, we just are. And I love it how he's training and teaching us how to live in the Spirit. It's a very, very powerful place to be because it goes way beyond our thought processes, although they do help us enter into that as we, you know, as we receive the mind of Christ and as we renew our mind with the Word of God. It's very powerful. But there is a place that we can live in the Spirit that he speaks to us, we speak to him, we hear, we get impressions, we discern, that goes way beyond where we are even right now in our walk with him. So I just want to encourage you guys, because that's what I was really getting back there, is that he's really taking us from where we have been, how we have experienced him, into this new season of really being led by him and living with him you know, spirit to spirit. So I just want to encourage you guys. This is an it's so exciting, and it's just, it's so empowering. You know, you feel like you're 10 feet tall, you know, and if I can say that, because it's not really not a feeling, but you just, in your spirit, you just are inconquerable. You just are. You cannot be conquered by anything that this world throws at you, or even the world of darkness. We are victorious. So anyway, I could go on and on, but I'm not going to do that, because I actually come up here to talk about the garage sale. Well, I was talking about partnering with God, and then it was kind of lead into that. But anyway, our garage sale, if you guys haven't peeked in the gym yet, there is quite a mountain of wonderful things down there. And we've all been working on it, and it's a fundraiser for our missions trip to Honduras. I think there's about 20 of us that are going. And we normally, the garage sale is a big fundraiser for us. We have two in the year, garage sale and fireworks. We actually bring thousands of dollars in from this sale, but it helps if we have, you know, bigger items, bigger ticket items. So if you have neighbors or friends or anyone you're hearing about that has appliances, refrigerators, cars, furniture, anything like that, that they would like to donate, they can get tax deductible benefit from it, then please, you know, let us know, and we'll work toward somehow getting that here to sell. We will have a few more work days left. A week from today, we will open the sale to everybody here at the church to shop before we open it to the public. So it will be Memorial Day weekend. The Sunday of that weekend, we'll open it after church for everyone to shop. And then that Wednesday, then we'll have the sale. The sale will be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 8 to 4. So we'll get workers for all that as we progress. But we will have a couple work days next week. If anyone still has items to donate, I think what we'll probably have is Russ not in here. We've got Russ and Lori, who both have keys to the church, and they live within like 5 or 7 minutes. So if you would like to contact one of them, if you have things to bring, we will announce, we'll send out an email. We'll have two more work days next week that you're also welcome to come and bring them during the work days, because we put things out, we price, and we do all of that. But if you have things that you would like to bring, and you have a limited time frame that you can do that, you might call one of those two that are close, and they would let you in to do that. So we want to thank you guys for all your donations so far, for all your work and your labors. We believe this is going to be a big sale, our biggest yet, and so we're really excited to get this team to Honduras. Yes. Hallelujah.
Get to Honduras and get back. It's like a two-way kind of deal. Well, I really don't feel like saying much. And because of that comment, I will. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah, come on up, Deborah. Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot. I remembered it this morning, and then I forgot when I got up here.
To go to Honduras with us, and Jay Howard's dad, Les, is putting on a dinner, and they'll be singing, and there'll be a play, and it's at Maywood Baptist Church, and in the kingdom of God, we're not in competition with each other. We're just trying to help each other get somewhere, right? And so this is to help Lily raise her funds to help her get to Honduras.
It's really
fast. It is close. We can step over the line. We have tickets for sale, and the play is called Seven Things Jesus Said from the Cross. And there's a spaghetti dinner, and it has a salad, toast, drink, and dessert that goes along with it. I haven't seen this drama, but several have, and they say it's really good. And we also have raffle tickets for $1, and there is a list. So I'm going to read this really quick of things that's going to be in the raffle. It's Olive Garden, $25 gift certificate, Mongolian Barbecue, $30, Office Depot, $20, Mardell's, $25, Arts Billiards, wonder where that came from, $50. The Family Bookstore has two Bibles, and there will be other prizes that are added that we don't have on this list. I have these tickets, and please don't let me be the weak link in this thing, because there's only 28 tickets left, and they had 140 seats. And so it'd be nice if I didn't have these 8 tickets in my hand when I left here.
Sorry. Now it is. About a month ago, I preached this message about Get Behind Me, Satan, is what it was titled, and about denying self and picking up the cross. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, well, along with some other things. But I also want to remind us of the three realms. These are three realms we can live in. We can live in the past. We can live in the future. We can live in the present. And God wants us to live in the present day, the present time. A few other weeks ago, I mentioned a scripture, Acts 5:20. I actually said it was Acts 5:12. Crystal reminded me that it's Acts 5:20, what the Lord had spoken to me during prayer one time on a Thursday afternoon in here about this place, the address being 520. And I come to find out it was Acts 5:20. And Acts 5:20 says to go and speak to the people and go stand in the temple and speak to the people the whole message of this life. It's the only way in the scripture that it's actually phrased that way, that's even said that way. Preach the whole message of this life. And that word life is the Greek word zoe. And it's the zoe type of life. It's all about the way God's designed and created for us to live in this life. There are, for me, and like I've mentioned many times, I don't preach every topic or everything in the Bible because I don't have revelation on everything. I don't have much revelation on the book of Revelation. There's some aspects to it that I do, but that's one reason why I don't preach it. I don't personally, my personal opinion is I think people ought to stay away from preaching things they don't have revelation on. It's anybody can pick up the Bible and tell you what it says and then give their opinion. One of the things the Lord spoke to me a long time ago is to preach and teach those things that he was dealing with me about on a personal level. And then the things that he just awakens my heart to or gives me revelation on. And that's one of the reasons why I talk a lot about ecclesia or talk a lot about identity. But there, if I could name three areas, three topics that I believe that are very, very important that go along with the Acts 5:20, preaching the whole message of this life, that the Lord's given me revelation and understanding on, and that would be our personal identity with the Lord, who we become when we're born again. It's so foundational, so fundamental to our walk. Secondly is our identity as the body of Christ, which is what Jesus said he was going to build, and he only said he was going to build one thing, and that's the ecclesia. And along with that is Christ's likeness, its character. It's becoming, because God wants every human being to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants everyone, but he never starts with everyone. And he wants everybody to come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants everyone to become born again. And then from that point forward, because that's an event, if I can put it that way. That's a one-time event. You don't come to you don't get born again, again, and again, and again. You get born again one time. It's a one-time event. But from that moment on is the transformation process. It's the sanctification process. It's being discipled. It's learning Christ. It's developing our relationship. It's learning love and all of the character. And it's learning who God is. It's spending time with him. And it's becoming more and more like him. So it's that reformation, that personal reformation and transformation. And we become more and more and more like him. There is a way we can tell, and not to look around at others, but ourselves, if we're spending time with Jesus. And it's very simple. Are we becoming more like him? Because if we are not becoming more like him, we may think we're spending time with Jesus, but we're not. It's just that simple. Those that are spending more the time with Jesus are becoming like Jesus. Now, you can spend time with Jesus without the unregenerate heart. And I'm talking about you can go to church, you can read your Bible, you can go to class, you can do all of that kind of stuff and still be pursuing your own dreams, your own will, your own desires, your own wants, In other words, you begin to use Jesus or use the Lord or Christianity or however you want to word it for your own means and for your own benefit, like Judas did. He spent 3 years with Jesus, 3.5. He did the stuff. You know what I mean by that? He did the miracles, and he was with them when they cast out demons and healed the sick, and he heard the teachings, and he spent intimate time with Jesus. But the whole time, he was there for his own purposes and using Jesus for his own personal gain, and he fought the gain of Israel. And we know what his end was. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. For my thoughts, this is what the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Now that could be a problem. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Do you know, and those of you that have been walking with the Lord, I'm sure that you can relate to this, been walking with the Lord for a while, that sometimes the Lord will speak to you personally and make a statement like this, but there's so much more meaning to what he actually said, the words that he actually said. You know what I mean by that? And the Lord's done that numerous times to me. And one of the times, and I mentioned that before when I was riding my motorcycle, and, you know, I was just really, you know, the Lord was calling me into ministry, into the youth ministry, and I felt very inadequate, and I was always, you know, my whole identity was in my motorcycle shop, being a motorcycle mechanic. And I grew up just trying to fit in with this group, you know, like a lot of teenagers do, looking for their identity and trying to fit in with that group and never feeling like I fit in really anywhere. And the Lord said this one simple thing to me. He said, be yourself. Set me free. Two words just completely set me free and broke something on the inside of me. And sometimes he'll just speak to you things, and there's, you can almost write a whole book or volumes of the meaning and the depth of it. And just because the Lord makes this statement doesn't mean it has to be this way. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. But they don't have to be that way. We can have the thoughts of Christ. Matter of fact, Paul makes a statement, we'll look at it here if we have time later, where he says we have the mind of Christ. We can have his thoughts and know his ways. He wants us to know his ways. He wants us to know him so close that all we have to hear is a clearing of the throat from the Lord, so to speak. And we understand what he means because we've spent so much time with him. We know him. One of the best ways that I have found to really be able to discern whether it's God or not, you know, a situation, a circumstance, something, is by the character of God. And Renee and I will, in a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate our 31st anniversary, wedding anniversary. But we knew each other even before that. And we lived together for almost 3.5 years. And so we've been together a long time. And here's one thing I just have to admit. There's one thing that I'll admit right up front. Even after that long, I don't know everything about her like I think I should. However, I do know a lot. And I know the tone of her voice. I know when the way she speaks, what she kind of means. I know when she's silent, sometimes what she means, the look on her face. We all have people in our lives, like our spouse or our kids or our parents or whatever it might be. We'll learn stuff, and I know her character so well that I can determine whether she did something or not based merely on her character. If somebody came and said, you know what, Renee did this and so, and I can tell you right away, either she might have done that or she did not do that because I know her character. And we can know the character, and see, with men and with human beings, our character, I mean, you ever do something and somebody come up and say, man, that was really out of character for you? Nobody's, just a couple of you. I've had it said to me before. That's why I used it as an illustration. That was really out of character. Whatever you said or if you did something, that was out of character for you. That wasn't normal. See, men can change. We can get up someday and we're just not in a good mood and we may fly off, say something, do something we didn't really mean to do. But you know what? God doesn't ever change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is solid. His character is the same. It's all, he's a solid rock. We can trust him. We can, once we know him, it's like he's not wishy-washy. Nobody in this room is like this, but you've probably heard this before where one week somebody will say, God told me this. And then the next week, God told me that. And then the next week after that, God told me this. And it's like, this God is like this, man. He's a yo-yo. God's not like that. He means what he says, and he says what he means. And when he says thus and so, that's what he meant. That's what he meant to say. And he doesn't shift and change all over the place, and we just don't ever know. You know, there are some religions that have a God like that. They're all over the place. Our God's not like that. He's the same. He's solid. He's moving. He's going forward. In him is yes and amen. He is life. There's no death in him. You know, so there are things we can know for certain when we know the character of God. And for me personally, that's one of the most important things as a personal thing is my character. I want it to be said that if I tell you something that I will do whatever I can to be able, that's why I don't promise a lot. I'm just kidding. Because if I say I'm going to do something, I want to be that person that you can count on. If Scott says, hey, you know, Joe, I need you on Friday at 2 o'clock, and I say, okay, Scott, I will be there, then at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be there. Unless, you know, there's all kinds of things that can happen. But for the most part, because I set my word, our word is really who we are. And do you know that God's word is who he is? He sent what? His word to heal us. His word is certain. His word is sure. You cannot separate the word of God from God. Now, you can do that with a man, but you cannot do that with God. He's solid. He's sure. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. That was before the book of Acts, right? Mark. Mark chapter 8. Now, Mark doesn't go into it as much as Matthew's gospel, and that's about the whole conversation with who do people say that I am, the ecclesia, I'm going to build the ecclesia, and forward. But he does talk about who do people say that I am, Matthew chapter, Mark chapter 8, verse 27, who do people say that I am. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has this revelation. We know from Matthew's gospel that Jesus said, no flesh and blood, no man told you this. You got it straight from my Father. You got revelation in your heart. The word of God came and illumined in your heart, and you spoke what you heard from God. That's powerful. Now, he has this great revelation. He speaks it. He's the man of the hour, right? He's like, oh, I got, you know, he has this revelation. Right from there, verse 31, it says, Jesus begins to teach them, the disciples, that the Son of Man, he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. So he wasn't given a parable. He wasn't given a riddle. He was very plain. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. That always like, I don't know. It just makes my hair kind of stand up on my arms when I, you know what I mean? It's like rebuking Jesus. That's. Verse 33, turning around and seeing his disciples, Jesus rebukes Peter. And said, get behind me, Satan. The word Satan means adversary. Get behind me, adversary. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Now we have a really big contrast. Peter hears from the Lord and has divine revelation, says, you are the Messiah, but not just the Messiah, you're the Messiah, Son of God. In the next context, he's going to rebuke Jesus for telling him that he's going to suffer. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. So here in just 1 minute, he's got divine revelation. The other minute, he's speaking for Satan. Now, he wasn't Satan, But Satan was definitely influencing him. And what did he get rebuked for specifically? Who can tell me what Jesus specifically rebuked Peter for? Wanting the Father's will, that's good. What else? Wanting the things of man. He was rebuked for his mindset. Think about it. He was rebuked for his mindset. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. You are not setting your mind correctly. You are not putting your mind, your thoughts on the Lord and his ways and his purposes. Your mindset is according to man, which is according to this world that's heavily influenced by the prince of the power of the air and the god of this world system. That's why he said, get behind me, Satan. He was rebuked for his mindset. Let me put it this way. Peter, at this moment, had antichrist thinking. Thinking precedes speaking and acting. See, religion or legalism just wants to get our works right, our words right, and our works right without getting the inner right, the heart right, and our thinking right. Colossians 3, we may just hang out here for a second. Knowing the voice of God is so important. Recognizing his voice among all the other voices, including our own. But too often, if we will just be honest about it so we can grow beyond it and get some healing from it and go forward, we base a lot of, or let me use the word, we interpret a lot of times whether God is speaking based on how we feel about it, how we might think about it, how it might benefit us or not benefit us, or am I right or wrong? I know when I was a lot younger in the Lord, I had a lot of misconceptions. I still do. We all still do. But one of the misconceptions I had about the Lord is if it was the Lord's will, it would just easily work out. Well, I found out that's not true. It took a long time, but I found out that sometimes it's really not true. I found out even that when the Lord speaks sometimes, the exact opposite happens of what he told me that would what might happen or the promise. Anybody that ever happened to you? You know, maybe in the area of giving, I'm like, I just don't have the money to give. I don't make enough. I don't have it. I barely make my bills now. I don't have the money to give. The Lord deals with me about giving, deals with my heart, and I go ahead and give, and then my microwave goes out, and then my refrigerator goes out. That's never happened to anybody, right? And then, especially if you're immature, it's like, oh, I guess this didn't work, because we're tuned to we're wanting instant results. Character perseveres. Character endures. Now let's just think about this particular scripture for just a second. Here's Peter. He's been living with Jesus for three and a half years, right? Like my illustration with Renee, I'm sure that in that amount of time that Peter wouldn't even have to see Jesus. All he would have to do is hear his voice and know it was him. Recognize him. Recognize him even in some of the things that were being done. If Peter was blind and there were some things being talked about and discussed and done, he could probably recognize whether the Lord was in that or not. Would you agree or not agree? I mean, we're assuming kind of things here, but just based on human interrelationships and things. Now here, just grasp this. Here Jesus is standing with Peter. They both can see Peter can see Jesus. He recognizes the tone of his voice. He knows it's Jesus speaking, that he is going to be rejected by the Pharisees and the scribes, and he's going to be crucified and he's going to die. He knows it's the Lord. He just said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And still, what Jesus just said, he could not receive. I don't know about you, but that's a fascinating. We're not talking about having a conversation with Jesus. Jesus even said, "Blessed are those who do not see, but still believe." So we're not even seeing him in the physical and believing, but he's standing right there. He hears him speak. It's not a question of who it was speaking. How many of you ever thought that? You get something and you think, "Man, I don't know if it's from the Lord or me or pizza or what." Something. We all get that, right? From time to time, it's like we try to work through it. Was that really the Lord? This, no question. Jesus spoke. It came right out of his mouth and Peter heard it. And he still rejected it. This is fascinating. He still did not receive that as coming from him. And then Jesus, recognizing the issue, he said, "Your mindset is messed up, Peter." Think about it again. Come on, he's standing right in front speaking. We're not in our prayer closet praying, or, you know, he's right there. And he rebukes him like it was Satan speaking. I'm talking about Peter rebukes Jesus like that just came from the pit of hell, what he just said. And Jesus rebukes him for his mindset, even though he can see. Even though he can hear, taste, touch, feel Jesus right there, knows it's coming from him, his mindset was so skewed that he rejected even the words coming right from Jesus' mouth. See, that's why we can read the Bible and we can reject it. We can reject certain scriptures. We can skew it, pervert it, twist it as not even coming from the Lord. It's because of our mindset. Well, first and foremost, it's because we have to be born again. 1 Corinthians, can't remember the scripture, says that a natural man, a mere man, cannot accept the spiritual things of God. Because they're spiritually appraised, is what the New American Standard says, but it means examined, which means they're not regenerated. They're not born again. They're not spiritually alive and awake to the Lord. They're not even in a place to be able to understand the spiritual things of God. A mere man, that's what being a mere man is. Later, I mean, Paul even really rebukes the body of Christ for being mere men. He said, "I gave you milk to drink and not meat." Why? Because you're acting like mere men. And then he goes on and says, what's acting like mere men? Because there's jealousy and strife. You've got so much fleshly acts among you. That's the work of a mere man. No wonder you cannot understand, receive the meat from the Lord. You know, when you look at in Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God, those are all character traits. Character traits, character traits. Hold your place here and let me turn to James. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter all kinds of trials." How many of you wake up in the morning and say, "Man, I praise God for all the trials I'm going to face this morning. I am joyful. I cannot wait. Bring them on." Nervous laughter all across the room. When you encounter various trials, knowing. Now, these are trials. These are external things. He later talks about temptations, which is an internal thing. He's talking about trials being an external thing, things that are coming against us externally. He calls these things testings. God's not trying to, well, yeah, he is trying to kill you, but he's not trying to destroy you. He's not trying to annihilate you. Because we can all say, oh, the love of Christ. We can all come in a nice air-conditioned, comfy seat room, have great worship, and be, I love you, Lord. But real love is not love until it's tested. Until you get into some hard bumps and some hard places. You could stand up on your wedding day before the preacher and just have the great all kinds of stuff to say about your spouse. But there's going to be a tomorrow. There's going to be a next week and a next year. And real love, true love, is not love at all until it's tested. Patience is not patience at all until it's tested. And I love, you know, just God's way of doing things. He's OJT, man. It's always on the job training. You want patience? I'm going to put you in places where patience is required because I'm going to work it in you and out you. You want more love? It's fun. I laugh sometimes when we sing songs like this because I wonder, do we really know what we're singing? More love, more love. I want to love you. I want to love more love. Okay, well, how about your neighbor at workplace that doesn't like you and smells bad? He doesn't count. Yeah, I love you, Lord. Consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter all kinds of trials, knowing that the testing of your what? Faith. Somebody tell me what biblical faith is. What is faith? Confident expectation? Trusting in things that you can't see. Those are good. Anything else? Amen. Good. Taking action. There's good. That's really good. See, all the knowledge in the world, all the biblical knowledge in the world does us no good if we're not going to act on it. Does us zero good. All we'll have is a whole bunch of knowledge. But if we're not acting on it, we're not living it, we're not walking it out, we're not applying it to our life. I want to say something, but I don't want anybody to take this wrong. I'm not against, you know, as far as deliverance in the body of Christ, we talk a lot about deliverance. And there's methods for deliverance. There's all kinds of ministries that are focusing on deliverance, getting people delivered. Even the world system has some deliverance type of programs. I'm not against any of those things. But I want to tell you what I'm for. I'm for the Word of God. He sent His Word to heal us. In every area, our minds, our emotions, our soul, our spirit, our physical body. Whatever program we have, if it's not word-centered, word-based, getting the word, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word, all you're going to do is learn habits. It's the word. The word. I love Jesus' deliverance method, the word. He even made such a statement about his deliverance method that many of his disciples left him. He said, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. You want to know the best deliverance method? That was it. You need to be consumed on the inside with Jesus. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood, all completely covered and consumed. That's the best deliverance method and program out there. That's the one Jesus used. And what did his disciples even say? Whoa, that's too much for us to handle. And it says they departed from him. He turns to the 12. You want to go too? We don't have any place to go. You know, we left our homes. We left our work. I mean, we're kind of stuck. No, that's not what they said. Consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The word endurance there is also perseverance or patience. I used an illustration a little bit ago about giving or tithing or, you know, giving, sowing money. Because a lot of times the Lord, when he leads us to do something, and I just use that as an illustration, it doesn't matter what it is. Moses was a great example of that. Go tell Pharaoh to set my people free. And what happened? You know, he goes there, he tells him that, and it got a whole lot worse for the nation of Israel. Now they got to produce a whole lot more. I mean, I don't know about you, but I would think, oh my gosh, I really missed God in this. I'm so sorry. But he was persistent and he kept doing what the Lord told him. He kept saying what he told the Lord to say in the area of giving or forgiveness or whatever it might be. When we know whether we've read it in the Word, God spoke it to it, and we act on it, we just keep doing it. Regardless of the situation, circumstances, or how it turns out, we keep doing it. We just keep going because God is developing an endurance in us and a patience on the inside of us. You know, the Bible says, I think it's in Hebrews, I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. It says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. Doesn't say through faith alone. It's doing the same thing and it's keep moving. And if God says turn left, you turn left. Turn right, you turn right. That's why bottom line for me in any decision and anything that we do, and whether people start this ministry, go here, go to work there, go to live there, whatever it is, the bottom line is this what the Lord said? That's it. It's not about there's better weather over there. That's why I'm moving. It's not about they pay more and there's better benefits over here. That's why I'm going to work there. It's not about any of those things for the disciple of Christ, for the bondservant. It's all about, is that what God's saying? Is that what God is speaking to me? That's where I'm going. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm doing. It's got to be bottom line. Verse 4, let's read this again. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter all kinds of various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces an endurance, a patience, a perseverance. Notice this, verse 4, and let that endurance, perseverance, and patience have its perfect result. In the midst of patience and enduring and keep doing what God has called you to do, regardless of the outcome. Need to add that. That we keep doing because God is always taking us somewhere. We are on a journey with the Lord. In the long run, He is preparing us in this life for the next life. When we're young, He's preparing us for things. When you have kids, you're preparing them for life, for a career, whatever it might be. We're always being prepared. We're going from faith to faith. We're moving forward. And the things He's doing in me today is preparing me for tomorrow. Whatever that might be. What He's doing in you today, this week, this month is preparing you for tomorrow. Your gift will make room for you. You don't make room for it. That's good preaching. You know why? Because that's the Word of God. Your gift will make room for you. Your calling, your gift, your place in the kingdom is so beyond you. So much bigger than you. So much more powerful than you. And God's preparing you for it. He just happened to prepare Joseph in a pit and a prison. And that was the best place to prepare him because that's what God decided to do. And if He's preparing you in a pit and in a prison, that's the best place for you. Boy, did it get quiet. Let endurance have its perfect result. Let endurance have the perfect fruit in your life. What I'm going to read next, I can hardly believe it's in the Bible. So that you might be perfect. I'm letting that settle. Perfect. So that you may be perfect. And complete, lacking nothing. Oh my gosh. Such a simple statement. Count it joy, not for the problems, but in the problems. Our attitude, you know when, I'm going to wrap this up, but when it says that, I forgot the scripture, 1 Corinthians, I think it is, where Paul says we have the mind of Christ. Actually, I think before that it says something, who can counsel God? Who knows His ways? All these things. And it says, but we have the mind of Christ. You know what the foundation to the mind of Christ is? It's Philippians chapter 2, I believe it begins at verse 4 or 5. It says that He humbled Himself. He emptied Himself. He did not regard equality with God, something to be held on to at all costs, but He emptied Himself. You know what He did? Mark 8, what Jesus said. We must deny ourselves. That's the beginning to discipleship. That's the beginning to the, having the mind of Christ. Is we empty ourselves. We may have to empty our mindsets. You know, when you get born again, your spirit changes. Bam, immediately. Your body doesn't. Your mind is affected because your mind is linked with your spirit. But the Bible says in Romans 12, we've got to renew our minds. We, that's our part. God doesn't do it while we're sleeping. Putting the Bible under your pillow doesn't work. We have to retrain the way that we think. Why? Because that will affect the way we speak and it will affect the way we act. And we're gaining the mind of Christ. And there's only one thing I know that we are supposed to do with our physical bodies, and that's to beat them. Paul said what? I buffet my, I make it my slave. It does not become my master. So our spirits are changed immediately when we're born again. Our minds are in process of being renewed, but it's part of our, and our bodies, we have to control them. Whatever area of your being, spirit, soul, or body, you feed the most will grow the largest and dominate the others. Perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. How many of you want some of that? Well, when you know from the Word of God, God has spoken to you, you know the area of forgiveness is a big one too. How many of you ever, you don't have to raise your hand unless you really want to. How many of you ever genuinely from your heart you have forgiven somebody, but they didn't receive it? And they were still bitter and angry and mad at you. See, what you're responsible for you. You're not responsible for the other person. See, we've got to get preconceived ideas out. I'm just going to be obedient to the Lord, see? I just want to be obedient to God. If that's what the Lord says I need to forgive, then I need to do that regardless of how they can spit in my face, call me all kinds of ugly. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter. But I'm not going to like that. But how they respond is not my responsibility. That's between them and the Lord. I did my part. See, God, you know, God dealt with me years ago about, you know, giving. And because I was a very stingy person and giving money and giving it to the church and that kind of thing. And see, sometimes, and we've heard these sermons in the past, I'm sure that that's the way God to bless you and you give to get. And that's so perverted and it's so selfish. No, we are to get everything that we do, we're to do out of a motivation of love. I love you, Lord. You're dealing with me. I mean, it says it in your word. You're dealing with my heart. So I just need to do it because I love you. And regardless of what happens from there forward, whether my toaster breaks, my microwave oven breaks, my truck breaks, that doesn't matter. What matters is what we're doing, what the Lord is speaking to us to do. And we keep doing it and we don't stop. That's how to endure and persevere in our faith. What's faith? Faith is trusting God. I might lose my job. Might. That's living in the future. It's not living in the present. I heard somebody say this before, and I loved it, and I'm going to use it again. I don't know who coined the phrase. It just dawned on me for some reason, the rapture and tribulation stuff and pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. And I've adapted this. I'm a pan-tribulationist rapturist. What does that mean? It's all going to pan out in the end. I know it sounds a little flippant, but my point in all of this is this. If we are walking with the Lord, and we're developing our relationship with Him, we're developing that love and the character and the Christ-like character, that is being prepared for every day. As we're developing Christ-like, that's being prepared for the trouble I'm about to face today. I don't even know about it. I'm prepared for the trouble I'm going to face this way. I don't know I'm going to face this. How many of you know exactly what you're going to face tomorrow or even this afternoon? You really don't. No sense worrying about it. Jesus said this, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Today's got enough trouble for its own. And we focus on him and what are you saying right now? See, that is how you get prepared for tomorrow. When we're walking with the Lord in fellowship and relationship of love and we're becoming more like him, we're ready for the whatever, rapture, tribulation, whatever comes to our nation. And a lot has already come. And it's not over. But we're living in a state prepared. Let me tell you something, and I will finish with this. If you get so focused on what might happen and you're not living in today, you will not be ready for what might happen. That's from the Lord. Amen. Bless you. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy life because it's worth living.